So the thought that we have today is to the glory of God. You might wonder why the thought is like that. But we want to look at glorifying God. So something that's done to the glory of God is something that glorifies Him. I want us to look at the scripture that we read that really gave us this thought, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31.
Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
So in that scripture it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Person might ask, well, how do we do this? And what does it mean to give God glory? So I decided to go and get some online definitions. Glory means praise, honor, or distinction extended by common consent. It also is worshipful praise, honor, and thanksgiving, giving glory to God. And then glorify, because when we give glory to God, we are glorifying Him. And that means to make glorious by bestowing honor, praise, or adoration, to elevate to celestial glory, and others. These are just some of the meanings. So, it seems when we read this scripture, we realize that God wants us to give Him glory. God made us. And He made us for that purpose, that we can glorify Him. And when we think about it, how do we give Him glory? What do we do? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 20.
For ye are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Read that again.
For ye are bought with a price.
Yes.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
How were we bought with the price? We were bought with the price of Jesus' blood. Jesus spent His life. He gave His life that we might be saved. And for that reason, we should glorify God in our body, and what does it say? And in our spirit?
And in your spirit.
Which is Him. In our body. How we, in our everyday walk of life, we need to glorify God. We belong to Him. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be here. Do you know, if we thought that the alarm clock got us up this morning, that's not so. Do you know the alarm clock could have gone and gone and gone on, and we could have been slept away into eternity? We could, the alarm clock didn't do it. It was God that did it. And so since we belong to God, we need to glorify Him. And in order to glorify Him, we're going to elevate Him in the world. Elevate Him by the life we live. You know, if we live any kind of old way, doing our own thing, doing sin and unrighteous things, we will not glorify God. It is a righteous life that glorifies God. It is a holy God. God is a holy God. God looks on things that are holy and righteous and godly. Those are things that glorify him. Sin and uncleanness does not glorify God. It puts him, if you want to say something, to shame. Have you ever had somebody in your family that just always doing something, getting into trouble, doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and you kind of like, you hate to see them do that. Don't you know the Lord hates to see us do things, just all kinds of wickedness and wrong things? But when we do the right thing, when we please him, when we obey his word, we're glorifying him. Let's go to Psalms 115 and 1.
Psalm 115 and 1.
Yes.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
Not unto us. We don't need any glory. But unto thy name. We don't need anything. Some people like to be seen. They like for people to look up to them and say, oh, you can do this and you can do that and you're good at this or that and the other. Not unto us, O Lord. Sometime I might preach a message and somebody said, well, I really enjoyed that and I don't want it. I roll that, whatever praise you give, that rolls off on the Lord because it's him. He's the one to get the praise. He's the one to get the glory. Nothing we can do of ourselves. We, like I said last time, I'm just a piece of dust. That's all I am. But God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of us exalting him in the earth. He wants people to live for him. He wants people to live a righteous, clean life in this world and be a light to others. That lifts him up. That gives him glory. If we just do our own things, it's not going to give him glory. So we want to be faithful to give him glory. And I was thinking about how can we do this? We need to make him the main focus of our life. When we make him the main focus of our life, it's going to help us to glorify God. You know, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. That takes in everything, whatever we do, the words we say, the attitudes we have, maybe you'll do something and the motivation, the motives we have behind the things we do, all of that needs to give God glory. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 17. We are made for this purpose, to give God glory.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Did you notice it says word or deed? That's what you say and what we say or what we do. Let's do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we are challenged maybe to react, somebody does something to us and we don't feel so good about it. When we are challenged to react against it, let's think about Jesus. Remember, there's a little saying the children have, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Let's think about what would Jesus do? How can I make this situation that's not so pleasant to the glory of God? Let's go to Romans 11 and 36. So when we get ready to do something and maybe we're tempted to do the wrong thing, think about it. Will God get glory out of this? Will he get glory out of me saying that? Will he get glory out of me acting that way or reacting? This will help us in the things we do if we will think about giving God glory in everything. Romans 11 and 36.
For of him and through him and to him and are all things to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Everything. Of him, he made us. To him be glory forever and ever. Ephesians 1:3-14. You know, sometimes we have certain people that we really look up to. We might say things that will maybe make others look up to them too, right? I might say, you know, so-and-so is such a sweet person. I want other people to see that, right? Or I might say, so-and-so can do certain things real good. Well, that's kind of giving them some glory, so to speak. But let's look at the things of God. Sometimes we go through places we might feel a little down. Let's start thinking about God and the things he do. Lift him up. Tell of his goodness. That's how we glorify him. I thank the Lord for all the things he does for me. I know that I wouldn't be here if he didn't help me to be here. I wouldn't have the strength. I wouldn't have the mind, you know. People, when they get my age, some people get, you know, where their mind is not that good. But God has blessed me, and I want to do all I can to glorify his name. I may not be perfect in a lot of people's eyes, and that's okay. I don't have to be perfect, except doing God's will. So, we want to do all we can. Did you get the scripture?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. How far do you want to go?
To verse 14. But stop just a minute. You know, God has chosen us. This scripture said, have predestined us. He knew even before we were born that he wanted us for his own. He chose us, predestined us. To give glory to his name. Did you know you're very special? He know your name. He knew before you were born that he was going to reach out to you. He was going to give you this opportunity, all of us, to live for him. We are predestined to live for him and glorify his name. You could keep on.
This is 6, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace.
Stop right there. Notice that it says he wants us to be saved. The forgiveness of sin. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to live holy and righteous before him. If we don't live a holy life, if we don't live righteous, there is no glory to God in that. So he predestined us to be forgiven for our sin and to walk in a holy and righteous life before him in this world. You want to finish?
In whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to his riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed to himself.
Okay, stop just a minute. You know, he has made known of us the mystery of his will. You know, one scripture said, you cannot, if you're not born, let me see what it said. You cannot, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But he gives, has designed us to be able to understand what is the mystery of his will. And his will is that we be saved. His will is that we live righteous. His will is that we get forgiveness for our sins. Remember in the Old Testament, they would get forgiveness, but they would do it again. But when Jesus came, he did away with that kind of living. And he designed it where we could get forgiveness for our sins, and we don't have to keep doing it. We don't have to. We can repent. We can ask God to forgive us of our sin, and we can walk away from it and not do it again. You know.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that which should be to the praise of his glory.
Yes.
Who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Yes.
Inheritance.
You can stop there. That's good enough. The thought here is that he designed for us to be saved. He designed for us to be forgiven. And he designed for us to live before him to his glory. Now let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 11. I want us to think about when we when we glorify God, we're lifting him up.
1 Peter 3 and 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it.
Okay. This is all about how to glorify God. We're going to forsake evil. We're going to abandon it, but we're going to seek peace and pursue it. John 12 and 32.
John 12 and 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
That's it. So if we glorify him, we're going to lift him up from the earth. You see, if I do the same thing as everybody else does, stealing, lying, fornication, uncleanness, all of that, God gets absolutely no glory. He wants us to lift him up from the earth. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto you. Do you know I can be no help to anybody else if I'm doing the same sins they're doing? I must live a life free from sin and not do the wrong things. How can I tell, for instance, Samaya, how can I tell Samaya not to do something and I do it myself? Right? I tell, oh no, Samaya, you shouldn't be saying those bad words. Right? I tell you that. And then I turn around and say bad words. Is that lifting up Christ? Is that glorifying God? No. I must lift him up from the earth. I must live an example in order to lift Christ up. If you see I don't use bad words, then that encourages you, right? And Jesus can draw you to him. But if I am a bad example, then you have no motivation to live for Christ. Some people say they are Christians, and they still do things that's wrong. They curse. They do what other people drink. Yet they claim Christian. But that is not lifting Christ up. Some people might say, well, if that's what a Christian is like, then I don't want it. But we want to lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. We want to lift up the Lord God, Jesus. And that way others can be drawn to him. Matthew 5:16.
Matthew 5:16.
Yes.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Somebody had that verse today. Was that your verse?
Not mine.
Cat?
Sing song.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So if they see good works from us, we will help them to glorify God. I want to read a few examples in the Old Testament of Daniel and the three Hebrew children. These men, young men, lifted God up so that they were in Babylon. And they were taken captives. They knew about God because they were Jews. They knew about it. Here, the king with the three Hebrew children had built a golden image. And he had a proclamation. And he said that everybody must bow to this golden image. These men knew better. They knew the God of heaven, and they refused to do it. They took a chance on their life. They didn't even know whether they would survive or not. But they lifted up God, and in so doing, this king made a proclamation concerning the true God of heaven. Let's go to Daniel 3. It's quite a few verses, so we're going to read and skip different ones. Just want to get to the main points. 1 and 2.
1 and 2, Daniel 1 and 2.
3, 1 and 2.
3, 1 and 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and a breadth therefore thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up.
All right, now skip down to verse 8.
Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the trump, cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Okay. And whosoever falls not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
Go all the way to 12.
But there are certain Jews whom have, with God has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Skip down to 14.
14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and he said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?
Go on to 18.
Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, shekel, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver thee, can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve be able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship that golden image which thou hast set up.
See, they knew that it would be wrong to bow down to this image. They knew the God of heaven. And yet, they didn't know if he would deliver them from that fiery furnace or not. But they were determined not to bow down and worship them because they worshiped the true God. And so they said, you know, if it be so, if he deliver us, well, in other words, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship this. We sometimes, to glorify God, we have to put our foot down, so to speak, and not do the wrong thing. Even though we might be tempted, even though it looked like I'm going to perish in this, we have to put our foot down and regard the things that God regards and not do the wrong thing, no matter what. So this is what they did. 24, verse 24 is going to show the outcome. So he took them, he had it turned up higher, 7 times hotter, and had them thrown in the fiery furnace with their hats and their coats and everything. And the ones that threw them in, the furnace was so hot, they died. But here, let's see what happened to these men.
24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the council, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of fire? They answered and said unto the king, O king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is the Son of God. It's like the Son of God.
Look, he recognized that this was God. Those men, that furnace did not hurt them. And when they came out, their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes were not burned. They didn't even smell like smoke because Jesus got right in there with them. Instead of 3 in there, it was 4. The Son of God had come down and got in there, and that man recognized there was the Son of God. How? He was used to worshiping idols, but God was glorified by these men. The other one I wanted to talk about is Daniel But I'm going to just talk about it so that we won't, in the interest of time. So, Daniel was a man of God. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And the king, Darius, at the time, put him over all the other, you know, he had presidents and, you know, people in authority, or, you know, anyway, he put Daniel number one. Well, the men were jealous of him, and they were trying to figure a way to get rid of Daniel. He was living such a life that they couldn't even, they said, we're not going to be able to find anything against him unless we do it according to the law of his God. So they noticed that Daniel prayed. You know, Daniel prayed three times a day. He would have his window open to Jerusalem, and he would pray. So they went to the king, and they told him, King, let's make a decree that anyone asks anything of any god or man in 30 days except you, he'll have to go into the lion's den. And so they knew that Daniel asked a petition of God, right? And so the king was tricked in that. You know, his ego probably got in it, right? Okay, anybody asks anything, anybody but me, then they're going to be thrown in the lion's den. So when he signed it, when it was signed, Daniel knew it was signed. He left his window open like he always did and knelt and prayed three times a day to God. And those men were watching. And they saw that Daniel prayed. And so they went to the king and said, King, didn't you make that decree that nobody's to ask anything of any god or man for 30 days except you? Yes, I did. And so they said, well, Daniel has not regarded your decree. Boy, that king was upset with himself. He realized he had been tricked, and he was not a happy camper. So they had to do it. He made a law. So he told Daniel, it's in the sixth chapter, Daniel 6. Anybody want to read it? He told him, he said, when he found out he had to go into the lion's den, he said, your God, which you serve continually, will deliver you. I'm trying to skip some of the readings, so I'm going to go down. I think it might be the 14th, 6 and 14. Would you look? Start at 14.
Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel.
Okay, so stop right there. So they threw him in the lion's den. But he had seen God in Daniel. He had seen him serve God. He said, the God that you serve continually. It's not like you serve him sometimes and sometimes you don't. Continually. He said, he will deliver you. Let's go now to verse 20.
And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?
Okay, stop. So this was the next morning. He passed that night. He couldn't sleep. He was just upset. But then early in the morning, he rose and went to the den. And this is what he said. Go on, read to 23.
Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not heard me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God.
All right. Skip down to 25 and see how he was able to glorify God in this.
Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius.
Okay, that's good. So you see how God was lifted up? See how that he was elevated. See how that he was glorified through the life of Daniel. We can do the same today. We can live a life that will glorify God by living a holy and righteous life. If we live like this, at the end, we're going to be numbered among these people that's talked about in Revelation. We'll have an eternal celebration, so to speak. We'll have an eternal home in heaven. It's going to pay off in the end. Our lives that we live glorifying God is going to pay off in the end.
Revelation 7 and 9.
Yes.
After this I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, said, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Go on, read 13 to 17.
And one of the elders asked and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall any shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains and waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
This is the end results of us living to glorify God. We'll be in that number that have the white robes He said, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When we get saved, when we repent of our sins, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are white. And when we go to heaven, we'll have on white robes before the throne of God. And we shall be able to do, enjoy the blessings of heaven. He said, they shall hunger no more. They shall thirst no more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, that is in the midst of the throne, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So it's a wonderful anticipation of heaven and what we'll get from living a clean and righteous life before God in this world, and we'll spend an eternity with Christ. Pray for me.